Okay. Renma. Okay, so this is the AMA for my Lost Boys because we reached 150 Patreon. And the guys are loading up their questions in the general voice chat, and I will post this later. So the first question is super, super easy. What's my birthday? September 1st. I will be another year wiser very soon, or another year sluttier. Hard to say. Favorite shape? Infinity, I think. I don't know if that's a shape. I am curious about how you have developed the discipline of patience. You use it so well in your audios when drawing things out and making them last. Is that something that comes naturally to you? Something you discovered? It comes naturally to me. Deep. When I'm recording, it just feels right. And I kind of go into flow. And I'm maybe a little bit in trance, to be honest. In talking to Lurs after I recorded, he was asking me some questions about the script, and I kind of didn't remember. So as odd as that might sound, I didn't recognize the script when he sent it to me again. I asked him, "Is this the one I read for you already?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh my God, I don't remember this." And it was the cleanest read I've ever done. So I don't think I can be hypnotized by somebody else, but apparently I can put myself into a bit of a trance. But it feels right, like music, like knowing when the next beat should fall. It's not something I'm trying to do. My favorite position. Are we talking yoga? My favorite position in yoga is corpse pose. I like being on top. I don't come if I'm not on top. So obviously that would be my favorite. All the rest is warm up. Foreplay, tease. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Sacrilege, no. A hot dog is a hot dog. What is my favorite toy? I'm assuming you're also meaning the lewd kind, Taco. My favorite toy that's not lewd would be my buckyballs. They're many round magnets that you can build things out of. My favorite lewd toy would be the Lush because it's fun. And it's just a tease. Yes, magnets are my weakness. What is my favorite thing a sub has asked of me? Like during a session, after a session, during vetting, such a wide array of options. My favorite cheese. God. My favorite cheese is good cheese. I just like cheese. I mean, how do you choose only one? I'm polyamorous for a reason. Favorite thing a sub has asked of you. I'm going to have to sit on that one. No pun intended. Do I like feminization? It depends. It depends on what the sub is wanting. If they're wanting to use feminization as a way to make them smaller, to make them weaker, or to humiliate them in some way, it's not fun for me. I really don't enjoy that. But I had a sub that was really interested in wearing women's underwear. And it was the first for me, and so I had to feel it out. And in the end, we went shopping and bought him some sexy panties, and he wore them on every Friday for me. And I would tease him about how masculine he was, that he could do that for me, that he could wear panties at work, something silky, that he was embarrassed about, that would show that someone would ask questions. So he was awkward about it. But what that meant was that I was on his mind all day, and he was very aware of himself and how he moved and the way things rubbed. And so it was fun. I had a lot of fun with it, and so did he. But if it's for humiliation purposes, then no. Let's see. Peter asks, if we're on food and beverages, I have to ask this as a self-respecting Englishman. I usually drink Lady Grey. I do like Earl Grey, but sometimes it upsets my stomach when it's empty. So Lady Grey is my go-to. Although Black Currant is a favorite, but I can't always get a good one. Black Currant, black tea. Yes, to sit on, Taco. Do I get aroused when I'm making my audios? Yes, I do. I actually, though, get more aroused when I'm editing my audios, oddly enough. I need to grab somebody to take it out on, if that isn't too much information. And sometimes I'm here alone, and so the lush comes in handy. What is my favorite body part? On myself or other people? Are my eyes green? No, my eyes are not green. They're not green deep, they're brown. Random. Rando, coffee or tea? I just started drinking coffee this year, so I'm still figuring it out, and I have no idea what I'm doing. And people will say, this is an amazing cup of coffee, and I'll kind of simply agree, because I can't really tell. I can tell really bitter, I can tell gritty, I can tell hot, I can tell cold, maybe acidic, but I don't even have a favorite type of coffee yet. I'm just buying random bags of coffee and trying them. If I were arrested, that hasn't happened yet, thank God, with no explanation, what would your friends and family think you did? The safe for work version would be speeding, driving my car like a go-kart. My not safe for work reason would probably be, I don't know, hitting on a cop or something. Because prostitution is actually legal where I live, so it wouldn't be anything lewd, I guess. On myself. Oh. I really like, on myself, what is my favorite body part? Does your mind count? That's such a lame answer. I am my favorite body part. How many times have I fallen in love? Ooh. I don't know the number for that question. I fall in love easy and hard. And like I said, I'm polyamorous, so I don't know. I don't know, David. I can make suggestions. Coffee or tea? On coffee. Oh, thank you, Rando. Suggestion away and good eats. What's the strangest place I've had sex? Taco. The most interesting place, I don't know if it's strange, would probably be in the back of a Chinook helicopter a couple times over the course of a few days. Yeah, that's probably the most interesting one. If I was transported to a fictional setting, which setting would I prefer? Fictional setting. Oh, that's such a huge... As me, in a fictional setting. Like, no change in my DNA. Somewhere they speak English would be nice. Fictional setting. First thing that comes to mind is probably something along the lines of Narnia, where you can pop in and out of. I think it was in one of the very first books, I cannot recall the name, where they would, I believe, put a ring on, and that would take them to a plane where there were many, many, essentially puddles, ponds. And if you were to hop in one, you could be transported to a parallel universe of some kind. Magician's nephew. Thank you, Renma. That's a place that has continually intrigued me. Especially now that we're playing with string theory, no matter how valid or not it is. But the idea of parallel universes where time runs differently has always been kind of crossing that line between science and fiction. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. If I could change one thing about myself, what would I change? I'm assuming you mean physical things. Taco, are you meaning physical? How did I discover I was a dominant? That was a long journey. What would I change about myself? I'd probably just give myself an hourglass figure because I have a rather athletic build. I'm not wide of the hips and I'm wide of the shoulders, so I have a little bit of a V, which is more masculine. And so that's been one of those things that I've always looked at models and kind of found myself wanting, even though it's not really a thing. It is a thing, but it's not a thing. So when I first discovered, to answer the question about domination, when I first discovered BDSM, I assumed that I was submissive, actually. And so I tried to get my then partner to dominate me, and it turned out he was rather vanilla. And I think that my assumption was based on being raised very religious. Women can't be in charge. Women aren't allowed to lead Bible studies, yada, yada, yada. And so the more I explored, the more I learned. So men have this very obvious, I'm turned on, I'm not turned on, right? You have a much quicker test iterate. You can tell when you're turned on. For women, it's a little less obvious. It's a little more ambiguous. And my over-analytical mind even says that women are taught to suppress their sexuality. And so, first of all, I had to figure out what being turned on actually was for me. And then I started realizing that being told what to do was actually kind of anxiety-inducing. It was not a turn-on at all. And then I started to realize that somebody asking for permission was a turn-on. And so I started kind of playing with that and realizing that my body responds when someone begs. My body responds when somebody is being submissive. And so it just took a long time. It was not a fast process. And so that's how I discovered I was dominant. And I think everybody has a little bit of both. It's on a spectrum. But for me, I'm mostly dominant. 80-20, 90-10, something like that. Taco, what size shoes do you wear? I wear a size 7. Would I date a clone of myself? No. Oh my God, no. I'm a very difficult, demanding, not easy person to live with. I would not date myself. Sleepwalking sub. Do I spy on others? No. Well, depends on what you mean by spy. Like if somebody friends me in here, I'll see what groups we have in common. If somebody is hitting me up on Facebook, I will check out what their photos are, their posts are. Well, this is a very angry individual. Friendship negative. But I don't really stalk people. Like people that I've broken up with in the past, I let them contact me if they want any further connection. So I kind of leave the ball in their court. If I had a power of any kind, what would it be? This one's easy, and it's also kind of, I don't know, strange. I'm not sure any of you have read the Sword of Truth series, but that power of the confessors, without the downside of scrubbing somebody's brain, would be amazing to have, to be able to force somebody to tell the truth, and not even to tell the truth about, say, what happened, or for some sort of forensic reasons. It would be interesting to force people to tell the truth about themselves. Like who you are, because I find, at least in coaching, that the lies that hurt us the most, like in growth, as far as becoming the next version of yourself, reaching your goals, creating the life you want, tend to be the lies that we're telling ourselves. So it would be fascinating to be able to touch someone and they have to all of a sudden be honest. And then on a broader scale, if you could expand that power, I'm in the United States, it would be so fucking fun to travel around to, say, political debates and just put all of those people within your bubble and they have to suddenly tell the truth. I would love the fallout of that and the pandemonium. So that would be my superpower. Tiger wants to know, would I get involved in a threesome? I would if I was in the driver's seat and it wouldn't matter the genders of the other two. I just think it would be an interesting push-pull, but it's not something I've experienced before. Taco asks, if you had to choose between fighting one horse-sized duck or 50 duck-sized horses, which would you fight? One duck. The end would be swift, or I would be swift enough to escape. The horses would just slowly bite me to death or knock me down and trample me. You can't really defend yourself against 50 opponents, but at least I would sort of be able to make some sort of strategy if I had just one giant duck after me. And they waddle. I mean, they're not exactly fast. Perfect New Year's Eve. This is where the boringness of me is going to shine through bright and beautiful for all of you to hear. So New Year's Eve is usually Black Eyed Peas, because for some fucking reason they mean good luck. No idea why, but it's kind of a tradition. And then playing board games and wearing paper crowns. And trying so very hard to stay up until midnight to get that kiss. And sometimes failing. Because I'm not much of a night owl. I'll probably be up at 3 on the 1st. But I don't know if there would be a romantic answer to that. Maybe sitting on a beach somewhere, watching the stars, alone with someone. I'm not really a party person. David, what things reassure me the most? Things like tangible things? Things like a whoopee? I recently procured a weighted blanket. Highly recommend. I have a pillow that I snuggle. I have music that, depending on my mood, wraps around me. It makes me feel yummy. Hot cup of tea. Someone playing with my hair. Good book. Oh, my favorite joke. I only legitimately remember one joke. No, wait, someone told me a joke yesterday and it was horrible. Do I recall it? I don't. So this is actually a joke I told in one of the audios because, again, it's the joke I remember. What's the difference between a raven and a blackbird? No. Oh my God, I've even forgotten this joke. Ignore me. I know zero jokes. I am not a joke person. I love hearing them, but I don't have a mind for retaining them. Taco. If you had to choose between cuddling again or never kissing again, oh, I would never kiss again. As sad as that would be, I couldn't do without the contact, because even a kiss is kind of a cuddle. So you'd be asking me to kiss without cuddling, which would make it a sad. Oh, I just recalled that Deep asked a question about patience. So patience would be the opposite of being frustrated, being annoyed, being angry, all of those other emotions. And I don't actually think I'm good at being patient. I'm actually not a gifted person in that category. What I am getting better at is realizing that my frustration, my anger, my whatever, is pretty much being generated by me, by a mismatch between my expectations of reality and what's actually happening. So if I can, instead of banging my head against the wall of what is actually happening, if I can adjust my perception and my expectation, then most of those volatile emotions dissipate a little bit, and then I can just kind of process those volatile emotions. So I play with that in my mind, sort of like a chess game. But no, I'm not actually a patient person. How do I feel about sand? Renma hates sand. I grew up in Hawaii, so I grew up around a lot of sand, and I enjoy it quite a bit. Especially, well, there's lots of kinds of sand, isn't there? There's big sand and little sand and rough sand. There's sand that sticks to you like glitter. That kind of sand is a pain in the ass, literally. But I actually really enjoy the feeling of sand underneath my feet. Taco. Have I ever intentionally denied myself to build my own pleasure? If so, how long is your record? Maybe I should plead the fifth on this one. Denied myself to build my own pleasure. So I lost a bet with one of my writers last November, and I foolishly bet him my orgasms. So I was denied for 2 weeks, and I was not pleasant by the time I was had earned my orgasms again. I was a miserable cunt. And I'm not sure that it even built my pleasure. I don't know if I simply went too long or what, but one of the things that I did to earn my pleasure back, because I'm very stubborn, if I say I will do something, I will, was record a ramble fap for him. And it was something that used to be a bonus in Patreon, where I had to pretend to come, but I wasn't allowed to come. It was very, very miserable. I don't recommend it. Could we know where you are from? Well, I grew up in Hawaii, and I've lived many places. I've lived in Alaska and Oregon, California, Nevada, Colorado, Virginia, Michigan, South Carolina. So I'm kind of just, I've moved a lot. I'm from kind of all over. Jaco, if I had to choose between being an exhibitionist for an attractive stranger I would never see again, or be a voyeur watching an attractive stranger, would this attractive stranger know I was watching them, or would I be some sort of creeper? Is that a requirement of voyeurism? Both aware. I would much rather watch. I had a long-distance sub that I used to make do a strip tease for me before I'd play with him. And sometimes, being the brat that he was, we would simply talk philosophy for an hour until he got up the nerve to dance. Because he would have to pick a song and touch himself the way he wanted me to touch his skin. And it made him very uncomfortable. Even though he was a beautiful man, he wanted perfection, and dancing was not his thing. And that's why I had him do it. So I'd much rather watch. I do not want to watch the world burn. Okay, maybe a little. What's my favorite food? Favorite food. Food that is made for me and is hot and is yummy. I'm not a picky eater. I just like when other people feed me. What board games do I like? Recently been playing Clank. Clank in Space. That's my current favorite. I really enjoy a game that is, what is it called? White Hill, I believe. It's one of those spy games where everybody's searching for someone. Everybody's searching for Jack the Ripper. It's really fun. Yeah, those are my two favorites right now. Seven Wonders is good. I keep getting these ads for, I think it's pronounced Scythe, Sky something. That's the one that I drool over, but it's one of those epic ones that takes a lot of time to learn, so I haven't learned it yet. Johan asks, would I rather have one body pillow or two normal-sized pillows? Two normal-sized pillows, because then I can rearrange them. Put one behind me sometimes, and one in front of me. Angle it in my head. There's more options. Scanning. If you can't remember something, think of a boomerang. It'll come back eventually. Are you Australian, Johan? Have I seen Star Wars? If yes, which is my favorite film? The first one. Well, not the first one. The fourth episode. The first one that came out. I really like that unfolding of a world. Once you kind of know the mechanics of how a world works, I kind of lose my interest. I like knowing how all the pieces fit together. And what is the magic of this world? And what is the physics of it? So I always seem to enjoy the first book, the first film, the first whatever. Can I sing? If yes, can you prove it? Oh, Quang, you hate me. I can sing much better in the shower. I mean, we all sound good in the shower, don't we? Can I prove it? The hills are alive with the sound of music. Oh, so there you go. I can already feel my bottom register saying no. Why am I pulling up all Sound of Music songs? Give me a song, Quang. Tried out a strip club. Have I been to a strip club? I have not. Have not been to a strip club. There was a strip club that intrigued me when I was in Alaska, and I cannot remember the name of it. I think it was the ABC Club. And I was invited to go, but I was sick. But apparently it was where strippers go to die. And I wanted to see what that was. What do guys think women look like when they're strippers and they go to work to die? I've never danced in a strip club for sure. Although this is something ridiculous. There is a pole dancing class near here, but it's kind of expensive. But it was one of those things that I thought might be fun as a bonus sometime, that I would go learn how to pole dance and then regale you with my epic failures / minor victories as I learn how to fall off of said pole. When's BJJ start back up for me? I don't know. Some of the hardcore rollers at my gym are already back there, but my mom is one of those compromised immune people, so I'm going to wait until things are a little safer. Yeah, I do miss it, though. Staying flexible and doing the yoga and stuff so that I'm ready to get another black eye. Taco asks, what's the ideal climate? So I've lived in an Arctic desert. I've lived in a high desert. I've lived in a low desert. I'm just done with deserts. At this point, I just want to be somewhere green, somewhere that's not too humid. I do like snow, but not bullshit snow. Like, if it's going to be cold, give me a couple feet of snow. So it's actually one of those things I'm toying with. Where will I move next when I leave here? Which is, I'm not too far from all the California fire bullshit that gives you a general vicinity. So it's very smoky. Can I prove it? You're welcome, Quang. It's not my finest quality. Although I sang in really large choirs when I was in college. It's not a skill I've maintained. Would you sing for a custom audio? I would. I have. Warm up and being mentally prepared for that's needed, though. It's not something I'm confident enough to just pull out of my hip pocket. Never been to a strip club in Portland. No, I did not. Although, on the freeway in Portland, there was a sign that was always yelling at me that I should check it out because the name was funny. It was called The Jiggly Room. Seemed like a very, very apt name for a strip club. Do I speak any foreign languages? I do not. In high school, I took Latin. And in college, I took Latin again and Greek. All of that information dumped. I recently messed with French because I was dating somebody who spoke French. So I was working on it. And then when we broke up, I dropped it. I think knowing a second language would be good. It's one of those things that they say helps keep your mind young. It allows you to problem solve better if you can ask the question in both languages. It somehow accesses parts of your mind that you don't have available to you when you only speak one language. So it's kind of on my bucket list, but it's not something I'm putting effort into at the moment. I do enjoy travel. I went to Iceland a couple years ago. Does the word moist make you uncomfortable? No, I adore the word moist because it makes other people uncomfortable. Because I'm that much of a cunt, but I'm a good cunt. What's the most romantic thing someone has ever done for me? It's so subjective. Romantic thing. I know this is going to sound odd, but I've had very little romance in my life, so literally nothing is coming to mind. I've had very practical is a good word. And maybe I've just had so much of it that my mind isn't even making it romantic anymore, and it is. Someone will draw me a bath and bring me a glass of wine. Or, you know what romance is for me? Is somebody taking the time to plan something and just making it happen without me having to be in charge of it at all. I know that sounds weird considering I'm a dom, but letting somebody else do that is actually hard for me, and because of that, I guess I find it romantic. Half-baked answer. Have ever tried a rave party in the woods? I've been to a mosh pit once, but I kind of got pushed around a lot. I'm not really a partier. In college, I was in a sorority, and I would go to frat parties to make sure none of the girls ended up doing something stupid. That was my thing. Dance on a speaker and spy on the girls, because they were my girls. Where did I find my love of baking? Deep. You guys ask questions. So good at questions. Love of baking. I have never enjoyed cooking. You're just throwing crap in a pot and heating it up. Although my respect for cooking has grown. I'm horrible at cooking protein. But baking is so precise that I can then learn how to make shortbread from someone who does it amazing, and learn how to make a lemon curd, and learn how to make a cheesecake, and learn how to make raspberry jam, and then make my own thing. I was doing that for a while when I lived in Los Angeles. I was catering things, and that was one of the things I made a lot of. And I still get people who bug me for that recipe. But it's just so precise. And then the method is so obscure that you can't necessarily reverse engineer something that's been baked unless you're amazing at it, which I am not. So kind of just playing with that chemistry. Favorite dessert? Cheesecake or creme brulee? Depends on who's making it. I don't know what the airspeed or velocity of an unladen African swallow is, Renma. I'm glad I'm your kind of cunt. Ooh. I've never heard of Horny or Terry Gross. Maybe this is something I should put on my bucket list. I do not play any musical instruments at the moment, Renma. I played Suzuki piano growing up, which is learning by ear. And then I played a flute in high school. And then I played a guitar in college, but I no longer play any of those. Randa's about to lose it. Have you or would you skydive? I would. It is something that I am going to do in a few years, as requested by a friend. But it's not something I've had the privilege of doing up until now. My biggest fantasy? Oh, I don't know if I have one singular fantasy. Hoodie, always. Sweater or hoodie was the question. Vin asked, how long have I been a dom? I've been playing in this space for about 3 years. So really, I'm just a baby as far as experience goes. I do not prefer hot weather over cold weather. Just so hot. And then when it's cold, although I'm always cold, I can have a cup of tea. I can snuggle under a blanket. I can steal heat from someone. So if I had to choose between overly hot or overly cold, I would probably choose cold, but hopefully not Alaska cold, because you can't really go outside without your face freezing off when it's negative 50. He asks, do you prefer salty or sweet? I prefer salty, mostly. Chips are the bane of my existence. Would I bungee jump? A bungee jump's actually scarier to me than skydiving, because there's that jerk at the bottom, whereas with skydiving, you don't really feel it for very long. My favorite quote. Ooh, my stomach's rumbling. I bet you guys can hear that. A favorite quote. Not sure I have one. My brain does not maintain specifics very well. It maintains generalities. Lars had a whole bunch of questions. Oh, and I just lost the page. Lars. How much do I work? Well, define work, because I love what I do. I probably work about 10 hours a day. Does it take effort to care for all my boys? No, in general, it's energizing. Like, just talking with you guys and bouncing around with you and hearing what you see. The only time that it is effortful, which is the word Lars used, you're adorable, Lars, is when they're demanding something of me. Demanding, like, say, a session. Demanding to play. Demanding something that I might not be in the mood for. That's the only time it's not very fun. Ever had a lesbian experience? Yes, several. Favorite versus most hated candy. I don't like cheap chocolate, which makes most American candy not my cup of tea. And I don't like candy that's just sugar, like hard candy. So my favorite candies would be like a really good salted chocolate or a salted caramel. And my chocolate's usually right around 80%. So just really good, like one truffle that you can just sit and enjoy for 5 minutes and just let it melt in your mouth and just coat and linger. Those are my favorite kinds of things, things that have to be savored. How do I create a dream audio? Was one of the questions Lars asked. Well, I'm changing this. I have been working from a spreadsheet. And it's fairly easy if it's a script, because I can scan it and get kind of a general direction. And then I read things cold. So as you're hearing the words come out of my mouth, I am generally finding out the twist of the story myself. And then I just hired an editor, and he is amazing. And he is cleaning up my audios for me. And then I have one of you boys that's also editing for me. He is also amazing. So between those two, I don't have to edit things that are large, which makes it easier. And so then I can just go back and Foley the sounds or plug in the sounds and try to make it more immersive. And I was actually just shopping for a sound engineer today. And the one I found is a little too expensive. So I'm going to keep shopping. I think I do okay in the sound department, but my assumption is that somebody who does it for a living is going to do a much better job. So then it's mostly just waiting until I have the focus to record. Because sometimes, I don't know if you writers have this, if it's just like writer's block. I'll come in here and I'll get set up to record and I'll get about 5 lines in and it's just not there. It's just flat and empty and dead. And so then I'll just walk away. Downhill something for you. I'm not sure I understand that question. You're probably referring to something, my sleepwalking sub. If you could ask it again differently, I'll give it a go. Because my brain can't register height. With all the love in the world. Fuck you, Rando. I actually don't register height. My partner's 6'5", and I'm 5'1", and I don't realize how much of a difference there is until I can see us both reflected in a storefront. And then, almost without fail, I say something along the lines of, "Holy fuck, you're tall." And I've known him for quite a while. If I had to choose between going blind or going deaf, what would I choose? I'd go deaf. I know that's weird for somebody who does audio for a living, but I studied art in college. You can watch movies with the words on. You can feel music when you sit on a speaker, but there's no approximation for sight. There's no way to experience light refracting or reflecting that is close. And so I think for me, at least, going deaf would be easier to deal with. I'd still be able to drive. I would still be mobile. I'd still be able to work and be on the internet and chat with people. I wouldn't be able to do that if I was deaf or if I was blind. Am I more of an indoor or an outdoor person? It's more of an outdoor person growing up. Hawaii, lots of hikes, jumping off tall things, water, playing in the waves, skin diving, cave diving. Now I'm a bit more of an indoor person because, you know, you grow up. But when I get the chance, I still go hiking, kayaking, exploring, that kind of thing. Which arm is my favorite arm? The arm you're using to stroke your cock for me. It's my favorite pre-20th century historical event. My favorite event. These favorite questions are hard for me. Are they easy for you boys? Favorite questions? Favorite event. No idea. If I could be invisible for a day, what would I do? Oh, what wouldn't I do? So it would probably be connected to, getting in somewhere that I'm not allowed due to class or status or money and just seeing it. Oh, like, oh my God, can you imagine having the Louvre to yourself for a night? So probably be something like that. Of course, I'd still have to figure out how to get around, say, heat sensors or lasers or whatever fancy schmancy security they'd have, but that would be my first inclination, to go somewhere that I can't get into because I don't have the money or the status. How did I get into making audios? Well, one of my friends, he was Chocolate Daddy on GWA, which is Gone Wild Audio for those of you from YouTube. In Reddit, he and I were talking about personality type theory and how he was building a coaching business around a type. And I was talking to him about how I was having a hard time getting coaching clients because my niche was men. And men don't know how to ask for help. Men aren't allowed to ask for help. Men are required to pretend to have their shit together and to stuff all of their emotions and to just be. And so we were having this conversation about my domming and my coaching business. And he was talking about GWA, and I said something along the lines of, wouldn't that be fascinating to be able to build a coaching business around kink, around subby boys, around that kind of stuff? And he said, I dare you. I said, what? I dare you to post in GWA. It's like, no fucking way. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't have that kind of magnetism. I had a lot of limiting beliefs around my abilities. And he said, I dare you. So I did it. And here we are. And so I get the privilege of seeing you guys and in a space where culturally assumed you don't have to have all your shit together and you don't have to provide and you don't have to be masculine in a way that limits your ability to connect with you. And so, yeah, I only coach two guys right now. I only have two kinky clients. I'm still figuring out how to mesh the kink with the coaching. But that's how I ended up here, was on a dare. And I didn't realize I was going to love it. And I didn't realize I was going to find such an amazing community here. And so it continually surprises me in the best way possible. And so I'm on an epic adventure where I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. And those are the best kind. So I'm figuring it out. Kind of after I put myself out there. I'm figuring out how to make audios. My favorite actor would probably be, probably going to fuck up his name, Justin Gordon Levitt. I don't know. And my favorite actress would probably be Charlize Theron. She's just such a badass. Peter Pan asks, what's Mr. Butcher doing here? Is he a boy? But not a lost one? You mean Rando? Oh, my stomach. I'm sorry, guys. Do I enjoy the silence? Yes. Some people need music or need white noise. I need nothing. I once drove for 8 hours, which for Europeans seems like a really long road trip, but it was something I did every weekend. And I arrived and realized I hadn't turned on the radio. I'd just been listening to the road noise and thinking for 8 hours. What's the best Wi-Fi name you've seen? I think it's funny when people mess around with, like, FBI van number 5. Just because you know somebody's going to do a double take, and that's way more interesting than just saying Smith's Wi-Fi. Let's see. Waterfall jumping, scary but fun. Agree. Waimea Bay has a big old rock on it. And if you jump off, if you time it right, there's actually a cave underneath that rock that tourists don't know. So you can go and you can jump. And then you can swim under that rock on the North Shore on Oahu and pop up the other side. Very fun. Taco, I've gone skinny dipping many times. Oh my, only 6 minutes to go. And I was worried there wouldn't be enough questions. You guys have shown up famously. Renma asks, what romantic advice would you give a 22-year-old male who has never had a positive romantic experience? Don't underestimate yourself. Trust your gut. Take small risks and start collecting the evidence that you are someone's flavor. You're not everyone's flavor. No one is. But if you think of yourself as Like, think of your favorite food. Like, really think of that food tangibly, almost taste it. And realize that that is you. So, let's pretend your favorite food is pizza. Because I've had that one before. You are pizza. And you're going out into the world and you're saying, hey, I'm pizza. A lot of people like pizza. Maybe you're actually Brussels sprouts. I don't know. But somebody loves Brussels sprouts. You have to find the person who's looking for the flavor that you are. And sometimes that takes time. But instead of seeing those, what you said are negative romantic experiences, as some sort of label that make you less than, as some sort of reason to not try, you can simply see it as a mismatch. Oh, I wasn't their flavor. Okay, well, let's go find somebody who is looking for this, for what I am, for the best pieces of me. And then on top of that, I would layer, don't be an empty bucket. Because so many people go into dating asking for somebody to validate them. Tell me I'm amazing. Tell me I'm worthy of being in this relationship. Tell me why you're with me. And having done a lot of dating, that is exhausting from the other side, to have to prop the other person up. If you start recognizing and giving yourself credit for the amazing things that you are, that you take for granted, because they're just you, that just always has been. Like growing up in Hawaii, people wouldn't go to the beach because it was just the beach. There are things about you that are like that, that somebody is searching for, no matter what it is. Starting to own those and be able to see them as amazing, then you can come into a relationship and you're not there to be loved. You're there to love. That dynamic is completely different when you're showing up wanting to love someone, not to get something, but to love them. So that would be my two cents on a romantic relationship. There you're hearing my coaching side. You guys don't get that a lot. Scanning. If I could travel back in time and meet anyone, who would I want it to be? And what would I say? If I could go back in time, and this would probably change dramatically given when you were asking me that question, right now I'd want to talk to Alan Watts. And I probably wouldn't want to say anything. I would just want to sit in his lectures and absorb that, because I don't really have anything to add. I would just want to, yeah, absorb that. Thinking. It looks like we're just about out of questions. You guys timed that perfectly. Thank you, boys, for asking interesting questions. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've never done something like this. So I will post this. Maybe next time I'll require that the questions be asked audibly, once I figure out how to record the other half of the conversation. But that might be fun. Then I can hear you and all your lovely accents. Maybe when we reach 200 subs. Thank you, boys. Bye.